Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the RADCOM Limited First Quarter 2016 Results Conference Call. All participants are present in listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question and answer session. For operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded May 10th, 2016. I would now like to hand over the call to Ms. Noga Fisher. Ms. Fisher, would you like to begin?
Yes. Thank you, Noah, and thank you all for joining us. With me today are RADCOM CEO, Yaron Rav-Kaie, and CFO, Uri Birenberg. By now, we assume you have seen the earnings press release, which was issued earlier today. It is available on all the major financial news feeds. Please note that management has prepared a presentation for your reference that will be used during the call. If you have not downloaded it yet, you may do so through a link on the investor section of RADCOM's website at www.radcom.com/investor-relations. If you have any trouble, please send Mark Rolston an email at markr@radcom.com, and he will send it to you right away. Before we begin, I'd like to review the safe harbor provision. Certain statements made on this conference call will use words such as estimate, project, intend, expect, believe, may, might, predict, potential, anticipate, plan, or similar expressions are intended to identify forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995 and other securities laws. For example, statements about the company's growth projections, backlog, visibility into future periods and future revenues, trends relating to the NFV market and its expansion, successful implementation of RADCOM's strategy, new wins from potential top-tier NFV players, increased levels of R&D and other expenses, and receipt of R&D grants all constitute forward-looking statements. Forward-looking statements in the conference call involve a number of known and unknown risks and uncertainties that could cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to be materially different from those that may be expressed or implied by such statements, including, among others, changes in general economic and business conditions, and specifically, decline in demand for the company's products, inability to timely develop and introduce new technologies, products, and applications, and loss of market share and pressure on prices resulting from competition. For additional information regarding these and other risks and uncertainties associated with the company's business, reference is made to the company's reports filed from time to time with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. The company does not undertake to revise or update any forward-looking statements for any reason. In this conference call, management will be referring to certain non-GAAP financial measures, which are provided to enhance the user's overall understanding of the company's financial performance. By excluding certain non-cash charges, non-GAAP results provide information that is useful in assessing RADCOM's core operating performance and in evaluating and comparing results of operations on a consistent basis from period to period. The presentation of this additional information is not meant to be considered a substitute for the corresponding financial measures prepared in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. Investors are encouraged to review the reconciliations of GAAP to non-GAAP financial measures, which are included in the quarter's earnings release and appear on RADCOM's website. I'd like to repeat the information about the presentation. If you have not downloaded it yet, you may do so through a link on the investor section of RADCOM's website at www.radcom.com/investor-relations. Now I'd like to turn the call over to Yaron. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Noga. Thank you all for joining us today. I hope you have our presentation in front of you, and I'll begin with slide four. As you can see, our results for the first quarter were very good, an indication of what we believe will be the new normal for the company as we've entered into a new era of growth. I'm pleased to report that we are on track with our plans. We're focused on tight delivery of all our customer commitments, and we are leveraging our first-mover advantage within the NFV space. Our revenues for the quarter were $6.5 million. Now, given our strong record-breaking backlog, we have high visibility for continued growth through 2016, projecting $28 to $29.5 million for the year. This represents over 50% growth compared with 2015. In addition, the fact that we are now positioned as the leader of NFV service assurance, a status we achieved when we won the NFV market's first mega service assurance deployment, has opened up a whole new league of opportunities with top-tier operators. We are now in discussions with several of them. Let me share with you the key elements of our strategy and our progress against it to date. Our goal is to scale up the company to support this year's growth and the new types of deals that we are targeting now, engaging top-tier players that are transforming their networks and need new, comprehensive service assurance stacks. We'll be investing in the infrastructure we need for sales, pre-sales, and technical trials, as well as delivery. The company needs to be able to scale to support a handful of top-tier clients, and that's our multi-year plan. Obviously, we're fully focused on execution, making sure that we execute smoothly on this first mega NFV deployment, on the other deals in our backlog, and on every new deal that follows. We're very pleased with our performance so far, and this will continue to be our major focus throughout 2016. The next focus area is sales, engaging additional top-tier communication service providers. We're currently in discussions with several potential new customers as the word gets out regarding the unique capabilities of our product offering. Deals of this scope take time, and the company's focused on sharing our thought leadership, helping our customers transform their networks. The next step is marketing, strengthening our positioning within the NFV ecosystem. We continue to collaborate and partner with some key NFV vendors and maturing joint opportunities. And obviously, a major focus will always continue to be our product development. As we are now deeply into a transformational NFV project, we've moved well beyond the theoretical and have become the industry's first mover. We're working closely with the customer to meet their real needs, moving from the theoretical lab implementation into a complex transformational deployment. This entire NFV space is new, cutting edge, and developing constantly. Our R&D is creative and agile, providing a very innovative and scalable product to our clients. Over the quarter, we rolled out a new release with many additional new and innovative NFV capabilities, including a new complementary product that we will be unveiling later this year. We believe that the gap between us and our competitors is wide, and we continue to expand it. In summary, we are well into a major growth year for RADCOM. As the first movers in our space, our product is attracting lots of interest, and we're heads down, innovating, working, and implementing. We have no boring days in the company, and we are very excited by our prospects. With that, I'll stop and turn the call over to Uri to discuss the financial results. Uri, please.
Thank you, Yaron. Since you have the financial results, beginning on slide 6, I will just go over the highlights. To help you understand the results, I will be referring mainly to non-GAAP numbers, which exclude share-based compensation. In the previous quarters that we offer for comparison, non-GAAP numbers also exclude inventory and commission write-offs. Revenues for the quarter were $6.5 million, more than double their level in the fourth quarter and up 3% from the first quarter of 2015. We are projecting a new consistency of our revenues. In 2015, we posted $6.4 million revenue for the first quarter, but then dropped down for the next three quarters. Today, our situation is different. We have visibility for consistency, strong revenues, at least through the end of 2016. Any new Tier 1 customers that we secure will add to our visibility and long-term potential. So we feel that the company has moved to a new level. Even though the quarter's revenues are similar on a year-over-year basis. Turning to slide 7, you can see that our gross margin for the quarter was 74.4%, compared with 82.6% for the first quarter last year and 64.5% for the fourth quarter. Our gross margin will continue to fluctuate depending upon the specific mix of each quarter's project revenues. As you can see on slide 8, our gross R&D for the quarter on a non-GAAP basis was $1.7 million, up 9% from last quarter and up 13% from Q1 2015. This reflects the beginning of the ramp-up in our R&D capabilities, as Yaron discussed before. We will be hiring more R&D engineers and making significant investment to continue to increase our competitive edge as the NFV technology expert in our space. In line with our expectation, we have not yet received an approval from the Office of the Chief Scientist during the first quarter. In general, we do expect to continue receiving the R&D grants, but cannot predict the timing. Sales and marketing expenses for the quarter totaled $1.5 million, down from $2 million last quarter and from the first quarter of 2015. This reflects the timing of commission and not reduction in our sales force, and we expect it to increase in the future as we build up the sales and marketing organization. We posted a $1.1 million operating profit for the quarter, compared to a $1.6 million loss for the fourth quarter of 2015. For the first quarter of 2015, operating profit was $1.3 million. We posted $289,000 in financial income for the quarter, primarily due to the Brazilian real. As you can see on slide 9, net income for the quarter on a non-GAAP basis was $1.3 million, or 14 cents per diluted share. This is up by 63% compared with the first quarter of last year. So you can see that we are very healthy and moving in the right direction. Turning to the balance sheet. As you can see on slide 10, our cash and cash equivalents as of the end of the quarter was $25.5 million, almost triple the level in the end of 2015. This reflects a large prepayment made soon right after signing the top tier one deal, together with continued strong collection. Back to you, Yaron.
Thank you, Uri. So that's it for the first quarter. We feel confident regarding the future and are focused on leveraging our NFV leadership to build the company to the next level. With that, we would be happy to take your questions. Operator.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we poll for your questions. The first question is from Amit Dayal of Rodman and Renshaw. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Congratulations, guys, on a really strong quarter. Looks like the progress with the North American efforts is starting to come through. Just wanted to get a sense of what the North American or the U.S. revenues are relative to the non-U.S. or non-North American revenues.
In general, for the year, we'd expect the North America revenues to be around maybe above 50% of our revenue, 50-55% of our revenue, something like that. It's not accurately predicted, but that's pretty much where we'll be.
So how are we splitting resources between, say, your legacy revenues that are sort of non-U.S. and now with all the traction in the U.S., you mentioned adding more people, et cetera, over here, but will the focus, say, for 2017 sort of be in the U.S. markets or, to going after the larger tier one type customers, or will you continue to also pursue these smaller customers abroad?
We're not going to give up on any customer, if you look at it from that perspective. But the priority for the company will be to focus the company on the bigger top-tier deals. So not everything will be tier one, but there'll be a lot of focus on top tier. I expect to see, now it can take more than the year, but I expect to see, let's say, over the next 18 to 24 months, increase in North America and Western Europe, as I'm expecting these regions to generate more like top-tier transformational projects and us winning them.
Got it. And on the gross margin side, you know, the low 70s, is this what we should sort of model for at least the next 12 months?
I think long-term, beyond the 12 months, we're aiming the company for the higher 70s.
Okay.
Even to the level of 80. But in the next 12 months, we're going to experience fluctuations, primarily because you know, some of the work is project-based and accounting practices of what you consider R&D, what you consider cost of sales and things like that. And some of the work, although we're 100% software, we still package some of the work to our clients as similar to equipment-based. So we do sell them like standard hardware as part of the deal. So that changes the accounting practices. So you might be able to see quarters like this quarter. You might be able to see, you know, several percentage higher and, you know, maybe a tad lower. So it'll fluctuate. It'll be above 70, I presume, but it'll fluctuate there.
Okay. I just one last question. In terms of the deployment so far in the North American market, how is everything going, and are you satisfied with the progress being made? Is the customer happy?
I would say very satisfied. It's going very well, a strong relationship, and we're also exploring expansion of the relationship. So more to come also.
Okay, that's great. Thank you so much.
The next question is from Marcel Herbst of Herbst Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thanks for taking my question. I got some questions regarding your non-NFV side of your business. On the last call, you spoke about having migrated almost all of your top accounts to Maverick. To get a better understanding of the remaining potential within these top accounts, how should we think of in terms of penetration level?
What do you mean, like penetration levels into what?
Penetration level into these accounts. I would think that you land and expand your deals, and you had signed up 6 or 7 large customers with your initial Maverick deployment, where most of the revenue came from. And I'm wondering, since it was mentioned that this was that you have penetrated all of your large accounts now, how penetrated have you into these accounts?
What we're expecting, you know, like some sort of a steady revenue stream from our top tier accounts. You know, they differ in size, so a big account will generate more, you know, a big carrier, and smaller will generate less. And we see it over the course of also the last couple of years. So our business is to, you know, make sure that we satisfy our customers, and, you know, you can consider it like a repeat sales in some cases, and in some cases it's longer-term contracts that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty happy with where it's at.
Okay, good. Now, obviously, we do hear about like slower LTE rollouts in Europe and in some various developing countries. Would it be fair to assume like a year-over-year decline in your non-NFV core business?
I think I look at it differently. I'm not sure, like, we would analyze a decline. I think there's certain, the main reason is because there's overlap between the various like markets, but it's more than markets, it's the drivers that drive business. So and then I'll explain, what drives business? What drives business is basically the need for a communication service provider to either roll out a service assurance stack for part of their network or do something transformational for their entire network. And those drivers, we've talked this call and in the previous call about NFVs being a major driver, but there's also additional drivers. So as data explodes, as they roll out like something like voice over Wi-Fi, we see now a demand for that. They roll out voice over LTE, which is a service that's complicated to monitor. All those generate a need to expand on like a pro-based service assurance stack. In some cases, it overlaps. So a carrier might do a roll out voice over LTE and roll it out like in an NFV mode. And we see now the market in a point where this NFV has started to be mature, so I expect to see more and more of those.
I see. That's helpful. Thank you. And in what ballpark was your book-to-bill in the quarter? Hello? Hello?
Sorry, we were playing around with the mute button here. So.
I don't have it handy here, so, and we didn't give it before, so we're going to skip it, sorry.
Okay, can you at least say if it was above or below one?
We're not going to go into it.
Oh, yeah, okay. Can you give some qualitative color on how your bookings were in the first quarter? Was it good to up expectations? Was it a tougher quarter? Was any color you can add here?
I would say we're on track with our booking target for the year. Some of these deals and expansions that we have with the existing customers, you know, they get a life of their own, but we're in good progress to deliver on the guidance that we have. We have good visibility. We're executing against it.
Okay. If I may, one more question. In your 20F, one of the risk factors you listed was related to the so-called operation support systems interoperability initiative. I don't really know what it is, but has this threat matured and become more real over the past year? Or, I mean, how worried are you about this? Is this more of a boilerplate type of statement, or is this something that you actually look at?
I would categorize it as the boiler statement.
All right. Thanks a lot. That's it for me.
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we poll for more questions. The next question is from George Marima. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Yaron. could you give us some commentary on the details of the pipeline? You mentioned you have several you're in discussion with, Tier 1s and NFV. Can you kind of speak about what level of engagement we're in and timelines, and are we in trials? You know, kind of where are we on all these?
So I'll take half a step back. The deal that we won, okay, was the like first mega deal in the industry, okay, and with a very aggressive operator. What's happening now is that additional communication service providers are basically maturing and hardening their strategy, and some of them are already starting to do some smaller scale very initial NAV deployments in a, like a corner of the networks, things like that. We've engaged with the ones that are, you know, not the, the most aggressive one which we've contracted, that has contracted us, but now with one circle around that. And it's at the level of now going deep into their plans and our plans and things like that. And I expect with some of them to go into trials in the coming months to come. We're already planning trials with some of them. If you're trying to predict, you know, I'll save you the question of what I think the sales cycle is, it's not, there are no short sales cycles in technology and networks. So, and this is a new NFV, is a new space to everyone. So everybody's like spending a lot of energy on it. So with the previous that, you know, the deal we won, it took us 9 months. You know, I don't see some indication that it's going to be different. It could be a tad shorter, a tad longer, but it's pretty much some sort of, you know, feeling for the, or color for the sales cycle.
And in what geography are these opportunities? Are they mostly North America-based? Are they also in Europe?
Combination of primarily North America and Western Europe with some in APAC.
Okay. And then touching more on your sort of non-NFV business, which I know is kind of hard to do now, but so your expectation is that your sort of LTE non-NFV business is stable. Is that do I understand that correctly?
These things are going to cross. It's going to be very hard to categorize an opportunity as an NFV or like an NFV voice over LTE opportunity. So for example, and I'll explain, CSPs, what are they looking at now? When they go and, you know, maybe in the, if like 2 years ago, they would buy equipment to provide service assurance and a probate service assurance solution. And that was how the market looked like. They'd go after companies, you know, similar to us, but that are equipment-based, and buy solutions there. Now, what is happening? They're gonna change, and there some of them, like the client that we won, are changing their selection criteria. They need a software, a fully software solution, and they need it both for if they need to monitor like something new, like voice over LTE. I'm using it as an example. And if they're starting to deploy NFV, they need it also for their NFV deployment. And that's going to cross because some of the clients, when they deploy voice over LTE, they're going to do it like in an NFV mode. Some will not do it in an NFV mode, but they'll choose a stack that is NFV ready. So we're seeing I call it a hybrid. Okay, we're seeing this hybrid type of solutions now, the last quarter being the discussion topic with a lot of these carriers. So I'm expecting, you know, the business to grow. I'm expecting traditional drivers like data explosion, like the rollout of voice over LTE and things like that to drive the business. But I'm also expecting the carriers to make decisions and buy NFV-ready solutions. And that's what positions us in a very good place because that's exactly what we are. You need to be 100% fully virtualized and fully software in order to satisfy everything that I mentioned.
Okay. And then one more question. On the product, you understand that you're doing a real-world deployment. And when you're talking with these various providers on new NFV projects, what are you competing against? Are there other people that are ready to deploy? What are they? What other NFV products are ready to deploy today that you're competing against? or is it all theoretical stuff?
We're in the pro-based service assurance space. That's our market. When you look at it in NFV, it's called a V-probe, virtual probe-based service assurance. We have competitors in the market, but to our best understanding and everything that I'm hearing from the CSPs themselves, they haven't rolled out an NFV product. Some are saying that they have, but they don't have a real-world implementation on it. Some seem to be still in the hardware area, and you cannot monitor an NFV network with the equipment. That's why we believe that we're the first mover, and we were, you know, widening the gap with our competition. And this is our time now to capitalize the market, and that's why we're getting a lot of interest in the last quarter to really understand that. We haven't been like heavy on marketing and getting out there and putting announcements, and we're still getting a lot of inquiries and engagements and demands. It's a small industry, so the industry knows how to pass it around.
Is the product able to be used in any other uses besides service providers? Can it be used in security, for example?
Not the release that we have today, but we have put security and cyber as a future use case for us. There are use cases, by the way, around cyber and security in a service provider that we are starting to get demand for, and we've done some expansions for the product, and we're planning some expansions for the product to accommodate for that.
Now, does that create a different addressable market, or is that just part of, or do you consider that part of NFV, or is this an adjacent market opportunity?
No, I would say at this stage it's NFV service provider. So we're not going, at this stage, we're not going after another market. I think part of our strategy is actually to be very focused on the market that we're at and not to spread ourselves thin now in another market.
Understood. Thank you.
The next question is from Josh Goldberg of G2 Investment Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi, Aaron and Uri. Thanks for doing the call. I guess if you could talk a little bit about two different things. One is, you've been there now for a quarter. Obviously, you gave guidance, which I think gives investors some better visibility on what you're thinking. And I think that that's a very healthy development. Number one, what kind of work went into the guidance in terms of, your pipeline, your bookings, what kind of confidence you have that you, that you're going to be able to attain that level? I'll ask that first and then have a follow-up.
Okay, so first of all, we have a very detailed operating plan for the year, and we heavily planned for it, and we went and derived the guidance out of that plan. It's not something that we invented, of course. I would say that we have above 80% of it secured with contracts. So we feel pretty confident about it, and it's just Q1.
Okay. It sounds like you probably feel a little more confident today than even when you joined the company a few months ago. Is that fair to say as well?
First of all, it's fair to say I'm comfortable. I would say I'm comfortable in a couple of angles. One, this mega deployment, and I was asked that, is going well, and it's not trivial. You know, we spend minutes on it on this call, but we spend most of the energy of the company on securing it. It's, at the end of the day, we're an engineering company, and having the a strong product with a strong implementation and happy customers, that's the business. And on the other side, I'm starting to see the demand. When you're an early mover and you've moved first in the industry, then you think, okay, when am I going to start to see the demand? And I'm starting to see the demand now for what we're doing with this mega deployment in other ones. And I expect the coming quarters this will increase. So the combination is giving me strong comfort level. And I would say the third thing, Josh, is that I really believe that we're widening the gap with our competitors. It's a highly competitive market. I think you guys or everybody on the call probably understands we're not the biggest market share on the market, but we'll be the aggressive ones that take market share. That's where we're positioning ourselves, and that's where we're aiming, and we've taken already a market share in the beginning of the year with this mega win. And I'm starting to see it come together. That's basically what I'm saying.
I guess another question I have is, regardless of the bookings in the quarter, I mean, it's the first quarter. Usually the first quarter is soft in general and in carrier spending. But it sounds like your opportunities and the doors that have been opened to you in the first 4 or 5 months of the year had definitely been a positive surprise. Could you just talk a little bit about, you know, it sounds like you say there's multiple opportunities. How many do you think have really started to develop now in the last few months, and how far along do you think some of them have gone even? Have people started calling you directly after winning this mega deal? Is there some, is there some more increased interest in NFV that you haven't seen before? It just seems from our side is, the big companies, the Junipers and the Ciscos and others are seeing a slowdown in their business because more and more of these carriers are thinking about NFV and virtualizing their networks, which really plays to your strength.
So I would say, and I'm trying to quantify it, that just from the beginning of the year, we're engaged with five new logos that we didn't do business with. And I would even say that I'm not sure we would have attracted in the past, okay? And the door gets open to us now very fast, and everybody wants to learn. And we're positioned as like a thought leader, and we're helping them to mature their NFV implementation. And one of the main reasons for it is everybody's interested in service assurance, because when you roll out complicated NFV network, and even if you're just planning to roll it out in the developed world, they all understand that they can't roll out all these new moving parts without putting a service assurance stack and something to be their eyes in the network. So we're seeing all of that come together. Now, how it's going to translate into dollars, that's going to be the next step. But, there's always the first one, the big mega move that already happened. And usually what happens is now several will follow, and we're in discussions with the right ones.
In terms of 16 and even 17, when you first, when you came aboard at the end of the year, you said you thought that there was enough growth that you felt comfortable that 16 will be a growth year and 17 will be a growth year. Are you still confident that those two things will play out?
Yes, we have significant visibility also into 2017 with our backlog. So we're going to be a healthy, good company going in there. And I think with capitalizing on additional projects that we're starting to get the line of sight into, we'll be able to generate growth, which will be a step function for the numbers that I predicted we forecasted on this call. So I think everybody needs to envision us as I like to explain it as hunting elephants. Okay, it's not we're not fishing shrimps or sardines, call it. So when we're hunting elephants, each elephant will be, you know, a big step up function for us.
Okay. How good do you feel about just the pace of your business with your biggest carrier? It sounds like you're seeing, obviously, they're happy with your product. And do you think there's a chance for some follow-on orders through the year?
We've built over the course of the quarter, and I would say it's been built upon the 9 months that we spent there in the trial, intimacy with this carrier. This intimacy is something that I've built in the past with top-tier carriers, and some, you know, some of you are familiar with my background. As this intimacy continues to mature, and it's in a very good place now, I'm pretty confident that we'll expand the business there, which is already big. And it's the expansion is only built on the fact that, you know, they're happy with what they're seeing, they're happy with the deliverables, they're happy with the flexibility that we're showing them, with the agility, with the partnership. So, you know, it's green light now.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
The next question is from Mike Arnold. Please go ahead.
Hi, Yaron. Hi, Yuri. Thanks for taking my question. I had a quick question on the shelf that you guys filed in March. You know, sitting here today, we've got, I guess, $25.5 million of cash in the bank. Is that something, is the shelf something just in case, you know, we are able to close a couple deals that we can, you know, support, you know, a few more anchor customers? What are you guys thinking about that?
You're on the right direction. So, you know, we filed the shelf to provide us with the flexibility to access the capital markets. Now, during the regular course of business, you know, of course, we're going to all the time evaluate, assess the market conditions, the interest in the company, and things like that. And the end result, it's going to let us, of course, raise capital when we need it, if we need it. And the end result is that we need a very strong balance sheet in order to support us and envision us with, you know, 2, 3, 4 additional mega customers. And in some cases, you don't know if you'll get the money in advance. You don't know exactly the conditions. And, you know, they're going to expect a very healthy and strong balance sheet. So I think you're on the right path of exactly understanding why we did it.
Okay, great. Hopefully it leads to more business. Appreciate the time. Thank you.
The next question is from David Kreinberg of Globus Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Yaron. Congratulations on the quarter and the guidance. Just a quick question. You've referenced a couple times it being a mega deal, and I know when you announced the contract, you announced an $18 million initial order, which was part of a significantly larger deal. I was wondering if you can give any sort of indication what that total contract size, of which the 18 was just the initial order.
I think we gave the color before. We didn't want to give an accurate number, and we're still not going to give one. But it's you know, several times bigger than the 18 million.
Okay, so it's a multiple of the 18 million.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
There are no more questions at this time. Mr. Refkai, would you like to make your concluding statement?
Sure. Excuse me, I lost my...
Thank you for joining the call, and we'll see you next quarter.
Yeah, sorry about that. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. This concludes the RADCOMS Limited First Quarter 2016 Results Conference Call.
Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.